me for $5,000 so that you can invest in a Franklin CD. Now, I assumed that you were talking about the mutual fund and not a compact disc of you singing to your hand.
Job had recently made a recording of his ventriloquism act.
Franklin comes alive.
He hoped it would break down racial barriers and maybe be a crossover hit.
It ain't easy being white. It ain't easy being brown. All this pressure to be bright. I got children all over town. Sometimes.
Where'd the guy go?
Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thanks to Todd the Corpse, by the way. Oh, wait, that requires the, I think this situation absolutely... Oh, come on. And...
Come on.
That was totally unintentional. There you go. Todd the Corpse located that. Coming up at 1:30, Jeff Dunham. We'll be here with his self-effacing... I can't even talk now.
He'll be here talking to his hands.
His self-effacing jalapeno on a... Steak. We'll be here. Let's now welcome to the... Let me find an appropriate sound to hear. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson
Jenny
Show.
All right. I'm all nervous, but here's my rap.
Why?
All right, you're gonna have a good drive today. There ain't no problems on the major roadways. Looking at country club, things will look pretty good like Robin Hood. Now I'm moving across the triad, yo. It ain't too bad, no. Now things look nice on 68, and I know you ain't gonna be late. So that was your traffic rap today. Man, let's get some weather from my weather girl. Austin Kavanaugh, come on, give us a weather boy, give it to us, word.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh boy, Jenny, it's weather guy, by the way. That is some.
It's welcome down to the Rick Emerson Show, Scott Daly from Film People Radio.
Do you have video of that?
I do, actually.
Really?
I never shown you the whole video.
There's something very curious, makes me want to see that.
Okay, Jenny, well, it's weather guy, by the way. He looks exactly like you'd think he'd look. Just a big, fat guy with like a bad comb over and like a gray suit. It's exactly, and then she looks just like you think she probably does. Skinny, long blonde hair, kind of ugly in that southern sort of a way, like probably passes for good looking in North Carolina, has no visible scars, and so she got the job. That's totally what she looks like. It's, and every time we play that, I get, because our good friend Lowe, you know, the flourishing hip-hop artist now relocated to Vegas, he listens to the show on a delay, he hears it online, and so every time I play that rapping traffic thing, about 12 hours later, I get a God damn you, Emerson! email from him. It's killing my soul! All right. Who is this? All right, well, Mick, we'll get to Mick here in a few. Is Mick calling about how hot it is? I'm sorry, we're only taking calls right now about the heat. All right, well, we'll get back. Mick says, can film a day in the life of Rick Emerson Show. That seems like a bad idea.
Pretty compelling video.
That seems like an invitation to disaster. That sounds like some Let It Be. Not in the life of me, but in the Scotty's correcting me, in the life of the show. I understood, to film a show. Yeah, it seems like it's... That's gonna be some. That sounds good now.
I don't want people to know that we actually don't do anything.
Actually, just sit around and make Scotty do everything.
It's all magic
for
3 hours.
Speaking of which, speaking of Scotty doing everything, it seems like looking at the clock, it seems like it might actually be that time again.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Hi, Scotty. How
just
are you?
Just like that. Look at that. That's all impressive. Right.
It seems like it's probably time for you to go feed the meter again.
It's like summoning the genie.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
We should refer to him as the genie.
Sarah, are you at least giving him money to feed the meter, or is it out of
your own
dime?
Yeah, you're not having to pay for the meter out of your own pocket, are you?
He is.
Oh, really?
No, I gave him. He is not. I gave him my debit card. You have been using my card, right?
Yeah, I had a good lunch, too, by the way.
Oh, no problem.
Okay.
I could use a nice cold drink, actually, while you're down there, you know? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, hey, well, hold on. Hold on. We should find out.
I'd love a big Diet Coke.
See?
Can I call the front desk from here?
I have no idea.
She's mad at me right now.
Well, no, I'm just going to find out if anybody else needs their meters fed since you're going out.
She's like, do you pay attention to the phones? And I'm
Nah.
Oh, yes. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about her. She's a pussycat. All right, thank you, Scotty.
I'm good for another 20
thank
minutes,
Scotty.
I'll let you know.
All right, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio.
Oh, I feel bad. I got him in trouble with Carol.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
At least it's not us. That's the great thing about the intern. They really are the Kevlar of this radio program because the bullet's going to hit him first. All right, so Scott Daly, filmfeverradio.com, which reminds me, I got to remember to play the updated Weekend Geek that Aaron Durant sent me because I failed to play it the last 4 days. It's made to be played on Monday. Didn't play it Monday. Didn't play it Tuesday. Didn't play it Wednesday. Didn't play it yesterday. He's now actually, he's recut a whole different version for us.
And Rick, how long is the Weekend Geek?
About 90 seconds.
All right.
Could have played it dozens of times.
No, I didn't at all. In the last 12 hours, you couldn't find 90 seconds.
That's the sort of professionalism that is the hallmark of CBS Radio. So you have seen Lady in the Water.
I've actually have a film review today.
I got to tell you.
How was it?
Before you say.
I'm sorry.
No. I'm just going to say, give me my thoughts and my predictions before you tell us, because I don't know what you're going to say, but that guy, M. Night Shyamalan, is such a wild card because he makes such great movies sometimes, and then, like, I mean, everybody knows The Sixth Sense was great. I thought Unbreakable was fantastic.
I loved Unbreakable. My favorite Shyamalan.
And then he makes, you know, there's like The Village and Signs, which have moments of greatness, but are sort of not fully formed. Like a cookie that you took out of the oven too soon.
The great moment of The Village was when the credits roll.
So when I was back at home asleep, drinking it out of my memory.
It's done.
So what is it? So the new one is Lady in the Water, which has Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti, Bryce Dallas Howard, who is Ron Howard's daughter, who he also cast as the lead in The Village.
Right.
And Jeffrey Wright is in it as well.
Oh, the Shine guy.
Yeah, exactly. No.
No, that's Jeffrey Rush. Jeffrey Wright?
Jeffrey Wright, he's a character actor, pops up in a few films. The one film I really remember him, he played the lead role in Basquiat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that
guy. He's great.
He's a great movie.
Yeah.
So the first trailer I saw for Lady in the Water made it look like a sort of a fantasy movie. And then the second trailer, the trailer that was before Brick, I think, made it look like a thriller, like a horror film.
Right.
And so I don't know anything about the movie. I don't know what it's about. I got nothing.
That's the best way to go see this movie. First of all, a couple things. One, I was nervous going into this because I was a Shyamalan fan when I saw The Sixth Sense, walked out of it. Wow, what a great film.
Right.
Unbreakable was really good. Signs, I was excited for. Little let down. And as I started to watch The Village, I began to think, you know, with his films, you're spending the whole time trying to figure out the twist.
Right.
And you want the
That's
end
the problem.
To get
you're
there.
Reading
and
it. You're looking ahead.
You're looking ahead. And and as a filmmaker, eventually, if I ever get on to making films, I don't want the audience to want to go see my films to see the end.
Right.
I want them to pay attention to the story. The great thing about Lady in the Water is it's a story.
It's not like an elongated Twilight Zone episode.
Exactly. It's a story. It's a linear story. It's a bedtime story. When you go see this film, you've got to go in with frame of mind. Is knowing that this is a fantasy, a tale, a bedtime story, a fairy tale.
Is it actually told as a bedtime story?
In a sense, yes, it is.
Because I think that's a cool device.
There's no narration.
Right.
But in a sense, it is. Paul Giamatti is learning this bedtime story as the plot progresses through various forms.
Right.
It's a very he plays the superintendent of an apartment complex called The Cove.
Right.
Outside of Philadelphia, which is where Shyamalan lives, and that's where he sets all his films in the Philadelphia area. And Bryce Dallas Howard comes out of the water. She is known as a Narf, and not Snarf from Thundercats, but a Narf.
Nerd.
Just want to make that clear. And the old legend goes that the people who lived in the water, people who lived on land, used to live in harmony. Occasionally, the people in the water would come out and try to make peace with man on land, and we all lived together. But as man become more greedy and started fighting wars and stuff, the separation split. But every so often, one of these Narfs would come out to prophesize, to tell the future, to give a warning of some sort of what's going on, that as the present course that man is on. And Paul Giamatti discovers her one night because he's wondering who's in the pool at nighttime.
Right.
Who's in the pool? And it kind of gets discovered that way.
So you give it a big thumbs up, though. You left me a voicemail that you liked it a lot.
I've
read some
loved it.
Bad reviews of this so far.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting.
Was it suspenseful?
There were a few moments of suspense, but again, it's not a horror film.
It seems more like a fantasy film.
It is more like a fantasy film. And you've got to go in with a clear, with an open mind. Just as soon as those lights go down, just say, all right, I'm all yours. Take me.
Don't ever say that to me again. Seriously.
But Rick.
And the worst part is you were like, look at me right in the eye just now as you said that.
My arms.
Oh.
You wanted to give me a Byron hug.
Wanted to beck me.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed the film. This film is not going to be for everybody. I mean, if you despise this kind of storytelling, and, you know, there's been a lot of writings about this film and how egotistical Shyamalan is with it in this role. He plays a very big part in this film. He plays, I would say, an essential key character in this film. He's in all his films in little parts here and there.
I didn't know that.
And he pops up every so often.
I had no idea.
Really?
No, I had no clue.
Go back and watch him, and you'll if you Unbreakable.
Yeah.
You know, it was little parts, but very Hitchcock-like.
Hey,
you know, you got to kind of look for him.
Let me ask you this. Is it true that they're making a sequel to it? Because I heard about Unbreakable that it was going to be Unbreakable, Breakable, and then one called Broken. It was going to be a trilogy. Wait, they're going to do because that would be so badass.
There have been rumors about that for a long time.
It was such a great film.
I heard rumors of that before Signs.
Oh, it was so great.
Oh, it's outstanding. I loved it. This is a different film, but it's one that's very true and near and dear to his heart. And you know, people are going to say his character. It's a very egotistical role. It has a very narcissistic tone about it, but. It's really, really well done. And what makes this film solid is the cinematography, the directing is beautiful. The cast of characters, there's the main character is Paul Giamatti.
And Paul Giamatti's great. I'll watch that guy.
Guy's great. And, but the other tenants in the house, the ones that all kind of have a role, have a place. Really are fascinating.
So it's an ensemble
really
film, almost.
Job. Almost. Okay. Yeah. And there's a very interesting character, Bob Balaban, who is a regular in a lot of Christopher.
Right.
I can't remember his name. Waiting for Guffman.
Chris Guest.
Yes, thank you very much. Christopher Guest films. He has a role as a very snobbish, very opinionated film critic.
Oh, okay.
And it's a very interesting take as to who Shyamalan's views on film critics and how they criticize him and his work. So there's a lot involved. It's really, really well done.
Well, let me do a couple of these calls. We'll play the Week in Geek. I got a couple emails, and then we'll take a break.
I've got a contest I want to talk about, too, for Miami Vice.
Let's see. This is, hello, Mick?
Yes, sir.
Hello, Mick. How are you, sir? I want to get to this, because are you calling from inside, outside? Where are you at right now?
Well, I'm on my cell phone in my office.
In your office. Okay, so you're not one of those guys, like, standing outside melting into a puddle in the heat. All right,
no,
so
my nicely air-conditioned office.
It's hot out there.
Thank you. Just lord it over Jerry and Mike. God, your Mike, that guy, he's in a TriMet bus broken down by the side of the road filled with passengers.
That's the worst.
Boy, and it's just, and you know it's just a bunch of sticky-faced idiot teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and their offspring.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
A lot of blonde women from Southeast wearing a Raiders hoodie on the hottest day of the year. You know what I'm talking about, too. You ride the bus in Southeast, you see that woman everywhere. Fat, buck teeth, blonde, child being towed along by her, and like a big sort of quilted Raiders jacket that goes down to her ankles. And a bag of cotton candy that's half eaten from Lloyd Center, stuck all over the child's face. She's yapping away on a cell phone about the guy that won't pay custody, you know, won't pay alimony. So what is your deal? You wanted to come and film something?
Well, I figured since the audience has this theater of the mind that they have to play with, they got to figure out who this ventriloquist guy is. At least we could get a visual of the studio and you guys at work.
I don't really know that's a good idea because I can tell you this.
You've got to warn us because we got to shower and stuff.
And not that it's going to help the smell of the room, by the way.
It is so hot in here.
It really is. Sarah is, you are,
shiny.
You are shiny and glistening right now. And you're wearing I don't mean this in a crude way, but I mean, you're wearing very little clothing. You have a wife beater on and shorts, and that's it.
There's a theater of the mind for the audience, right?
Well, no, that's the theater of mind that they appreciate.
Know who your audience is, Rick. We want to see Sarah. We don't give a crap about you.
Okay, so you want to film Sarah then?
Thank you. So basically, you just want a camera fixed on Sarah during the program.
I can't do it today. I'm just saying in general. Oh,
what a shame that is. Okay. All right. Well, when can you come in and ignore me, the man whose name is on the program?
Maybe like next Friday.
All right. Well, let's think about it. You drop me an email or give your info. Give your phone number to Scotty. We'll figure something out.
I'll send an email.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. There you go. Let's see. Okay. Hey, the ventriloquist is here, so we'll get to him in a short while.
Bad.
Jeff Dunham and his self-effacing jalapeno are here.
I
want to
see the jalapeno.
Hold on. Let's go. And then we got to do a few more things with Scott Daly, and then we'll break. Andy, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
Andy, what's up?
Hey, just so you know. It's hot down in Salem, too, where I am right now. But the air conditioner in my van is working wonderfully.
See, this is the thing. Now, Scott Daly from Film Beaver Radio is here. Now, you, let me, because I know your wife is gone this weekend. You are hanging with the kids. You're not a bachelor. You're a single dad this weekend.
Right.
And you are, you said you were packing up and you're going to your parents' house because you don't own, you are a grown-up. You have children. You work at a bank.
Yes.
Get an air conditioner.
Bastard.
Why, do, you son of a bitch, why don't, like, I'm angry that he doesn't have an air conditioner.
Yeah, for the children.
Seriously, yeah. What kind of goddamn away? Father doesn't have an air conditioner? You're punishing your children, making them suffer.
Tell
they're going to curse your name, Scott Daly. Your children will curse the day that you were born. Why do you not have an air conditioner?
To be honest, we haven't really just... We just haven't gotten around to it.
You're 30-something.
How many... We've been in our house now in St. Helens, which, by the way, St. Helens is generally 5 to 10 degrees cooler. We're right on the river. We have a nice breeze going through, so it doesn't get that hot.
The Walmart there. They're like $80 at Walmart.
Seriously?
Stick a crowbar in your pocket, dude.
Yeah, you work at a bank. That's like an hour's salary for you. So, I mean, look, I can tell you, I don't care... I've told this story. I will get a condensed version of this, but long story short, I mean, everybody knows I grew up in this place where it was hot and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But then I lived in Spokane where it was all just terrible and sweltering, and I lived in this stinkhole of an apartment. It was like this meth house, basically. It was just awful. I lived in an apartment, walls made of concrete, ceiling, you know, the roof made of metal. It was just like living in a prison camp. I drove a little Ford Escort, no air conditioning, of course, apartment, no air conditioning. And I had this boss who thought it was the height of my program director, thought it was the height of hilarity when it was like 190 degrees to call me at home, like from his house, and be like, "Oh, dude, it sucks. The air conditioner's broken. It's stuck on. Oh, it's like 65 degrees.
So cold.
I'm gonna have to put on a sweater. Oh, it's so chilly in my house. Gotta go by." And I'm there doing this thing of covering myself with wet towels and then pointing a box fan at myself, nude, just like, "Oh, I just."
There's a pleasant visual.
Making
thank you. That's
foolish.
Theater of the mind. Yeah, that's no. And my whole goal was just to not die.
Right.
That was like it was not enough. I knew I wouldn't be comfortable. My whole thing was just to not actually die of heat prostration during the night. So, but
you're making me feel.
But after
awful. You do a snuff watch on you.
But here's the thing,
you might have to.
But here's the thing is after that summer, I made a vow to myself. I swore to myself. I made an oath in my soul. I said, "I don't care if I have to skimp on food. I don't care if I have to skimp on long distance on the phone, if I have to not go to movies, if I have to whatever. I would never again live in a place or have a car that was not air conditioned." And that because I can't do it. I cannot do it. I am soft
all right,
like that.
Then tonight I am bringing my children over to your house.
No, you are not. But thank you. You will find
fun.
The door
they
locked.
They will love your little doggy.
Okay. Owner has gun. I don't have a gun. No.
Are you saying you don't like my children? Rick?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Rick, come on.
See, come on, Scott, you know what you're walking into. Why are you baiting him like that?
I don't dislike. Let me put it this way. I don't dislike your children any more than any other children
okay,
I've never met.
Fair enough, Ben.
So yeah. I don't dislike them especially or specifically. I've never met them.
Yes, you have. You've met my son. Hey,
I haven't met you.
I have children, but they're cool in my house.
Right, fine,
because you love your children.
So,
that's right.
All right, thank you, Andy.
No, Rick.
Hey, ask Mal with an oscillating pin.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate
it. No, Cooper came to your wedding party over at the Produce Row.
You brought your baby to my wedding party?
He was three.
I don't remember that.
He was running around. Everyone was loving him. They were having a good time.
Sarah, I think I blocked him out.
I'm sure you did.
No, I'm looking back in my memory, and there's just a blue dot. I think I've edited him out. In my memory, I think I've revised that to remove him.
You're a bad
Jabba the Hutt is over him in my memory. So I'm sure he's... Don't get all dad on
me. Come on.
Here's the thing. Children, you know what it is?
No,
I was thinking about this last night, and then we have to wrap up and we have to break. You have to plug some stuff. But I have to say this. Lycus was talking last night. Somebody accused him of hating children because he doesn't have them. And Lycus said, he goes, "I don't hate children." He said, "I love children. They're great. That's why I don't have them, because I don't want to subject them to my radio life and whatever."
Right.
Here's the thing. I will not go that far. I will say this. I empathize with children.
Right.
I sympathize with children. I realize that there are, you know, good and bad things about childhood. So I do all of this. I sympathize and empathize with them. I have feeling, you know, for children and the things they go through, and, you know, both good and bad. But that in no way means I want them around me.
No, I understand.
And children are fine as long as they are on the other side of a big, thick window that
and
they cannot get through.
I've got to say it. I'm not going to be all preachy and daddy-like here, but I was the same way before I had kids.
Here it comes.
I was the same way before I had kids.
Wait till you have one.
Like, I just don't want kids. And no, I'm not going to say that because I hated people. Like, wait till you have a kid. Yes, they were correct. However, I can empathize and I know what that's like.
Doesn't seem like a crapshoot, though.
Yeah, it really is.
I'll love it when it comes out. Maybe I'll have to smother it.
It really is because our daughter is the polar opposite of my son, and it's just—it's insane. It's like, where are you come from, devil child?
That's a ringing endorsement, Scott. Note to self: buy rubbers.
Let's go birth now.
Let's go birth now.
Nice.
And Sarah Dillon has said that.
It is really.
There's no air in the studio.
It's so
there's none.
Hot in here.
All right. Well, when do you have to leave?
I've got to leave in like 2 minutes. I got to get back.
Okay. Well, then you're not going to be able to stick around and see the jalapeno.
listen though.
I apologize that we're short on time.
No,
I know you've got
fault.
A contest and some stuff. Do me a plug. Sure, just like take 60 seconds.
Right.
Pimp plug.
All right. FilmFeverRadio.com. Our newest episode of Film Fever Radio is up and available for download. We review Lady in the Water and we take a crack at screening crowds. You've been to screenings, you know what
yes,
I'm talking about.
That's true.
And we also have a new contest, Film Fever's first screening of ever. We are doing of Miami Vice this Tuesday. And I could be that guy and say you've got to listen to our show to enter. But I want the Rick Everson audience who doesn't listen,
God bless
you should, to play along too. So what you need to do is write some lyrics to the Jon Hammer Miami Vice
Jesus
theme.
God.
And send them to contest at filmfeverradio.com. And you get yourself a poster and a pair of passes to go see Miami Vice this Tuesday.
How could you even write lyrics to that?
That's
playing it in my
the
head.
Trick. That's the trick, my friend.
I get a dip, outside.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Do you have the rim shot handy?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Rick, it's so hot, says this email. A dog just chased a cat past my window. And they're both walking. Robert and Southeast. That was a weird noise. All right. It is hot in the studio.
Yeah,
isn't
really
it?
Is.
Come on. Anyway, so contest at filmfeverradio.com. Lyrics of the Miami Vice theme. We want to hear them. We want to see everyone at the screening this Tuesday. I want Sarah and Rick and Tim and Scotty J to all be at the screening as
Sarah's
well.
Sarah's imposing a break on us now. Scott Daly.
All right, thanks,
all right, love to stay. Gotta go.
I have to go.
Thank you. All right, thank you, sir. We'll see
thanks
you next
you
week. All right.
Be here.
Back in a moment with the self-effacing jalapeno on a steak. You stay right there. Then it's the Rick Everson Show. Thank you for coming by.
Hey, oh my God. That is ridiculous.
Hold on, no one can see what we're talking about. Although I'm saying it as though in a moment they'll be able to see it. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. We appreciate it. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, Dennis Pitzenbarger for the Portland Tribune is going to stop on by. I got to do the weekend geek and a half. It's sort of the weekend in geek. All right, nobody cares. Let's just get to everybody. Let's skip the pre-promote and get to what everybody's talking about here.
I don't know what Carol's doing.
Is Carol at the door?
Carol?
I don't know if she's
would
just watching.
Like come in?
All right, Carol from the front desk is going to come in. Are you here just to watch the ventriloquism?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
All right, well, let me just... Sometimes I will come here and I will sort of pretend that I know what I'm talking about. And I will take the biography and the biographical information that's been faxed to me or emailed to me, and I will read it in my own words as though I'm really well-versed in whoever we're bringing on. This is not that day. So I'm just... I'm going to tell you...
I'm going to take a picture of this right now.
I'm going to tell you that we're going to welcome Jeff down onto the program in just a moment. And I'm just going to read you this, and I'm going to tell you what I know.
Wait a minute. I haven't even seen this. Who wrote this? I don't even know what it is.
Some guy. Some guy with a grudge against you. Let me just read you this. We're welcome Jeff Dunham. And by the way, I should tell you right up top, he's going to be at the Aladdin Theater tonight. Two shows, which is cool. I admire anybody that does. That's 7 and 10. This is what it says. Breathing life into an elderly curmudgeon, or even a self-effacing jalapeno on a steak, S-T-E-E-K, Jeff Dunham is straight man to some of the funniest partners in show business. He has amassed apparently, legions of loyal fans throughout the United States with sold-out theater and comedy club performances. You've been on Leno. You've been on Carson. You were on Carson?
Oh, yeah, five times.
We were my news guy, Tim, and I, we were talking about this. We both grew up idolizing Carson. We both lamented that we never got to see him or meet him, obviously, or anything like that. That's impressive. Also voted funniest male stand-up comic at the American Comedy Awards. An honor shared with the likes of Jerry Seinfeld, Jeff Foxworthy, Robin Williams, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and then it says, with materials suited and customized for an audience at hand. I don't even know what that means.
I don't.
Apparently, you range.
Why are you torturing me like
I don't. Why are you reading this?
I want people to know, to go into this informed. Apparently, your fans run the gamut. From bikers, Jeff, to surgeons.
Yeah, now he's being meme.
I'm reading directly off. This
Where
is
did you find
this? Alan Rommelfanger sent this to
know.
Me.
No, he's the publicist who
Let's
did
beat
this.
His ass. All right, here's what I know.
All right.
I'm sorry, this is the biography of the film on the floor. This story does not... I know this sounds like a joke, but it's not. I bicycled to work, and so I was in the bathroom changing from my bike clothes, my normal clothes, and our sister station, they're on the overhead speaker in there.
Right.
So I'm changing, and I came in... I think halfway through your interview with Lee and Alana in the morning.
Right.
And so I think I came in as your curmudgeon character, Walter. And I came in and it was a whole lot of, and another thing. And I'm like, well, this is a crazy guest. And then I stepped out to get my shoes and I came back. And it's a whole lot of, they're building a wall on the border. And I'm like, who are they? Who are these people? And then I realized it was that you were a ventriloquist. And and I realized you were the guy that they had been talking to us about. I balked at first. I'm like, ventriloquist on the radio. This dumb ideas. Next, you know?
Right.
And the audience, and Sarah's my witness here, the audience started calling and emailing saying that you were hilarious.
You have a lot of fans.
Nice. And I will confess, I apologize. I had not heard of you.
That legions thing.
The bikers and surgeons.
Rick, I want you to stop talking so he can start.
Okay, so let's now welcome, and again, I apologize for not having heard of you. But apparently you are known to billions and skillions. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Jeff Dunham.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you very much. And the guy that's been sitting here patiently is one of the characters in my show. This is Walter.
Sarah, would you like to describe Walter here?
I actually took a picture of him.
He looks
a squinty,
like...
Oh, my gosh.
He looks like Hank Hill's dad.
Oh, that's weird. Okay, I'm sorry. No,
he looks like Hank Hill's dad, Cotton.
This is the worst radio I've ever done. It's a 10-minute introduction. I had never heard of you either, Rick.
Thank you. You know what?
I'm sure you do a fine show. Your ratings are good. And to hell with FM, let's stick with AM.
You know, the creepiest part is how you eyebrows. Find yourself watching and reacting to the actual...
You know, I feel the same way about you. I see her looking at Sarah, then looking at you. Rick, it's like you're actually alive. You should sit on Jeff's other knee. He can stick his hand up your back. I love Carol. Carol met us at the front door. She's a lovely young lady as well. She and Sarah, you're surrounded by beauty, Rick.
I feel so awkward right now.
Stop touching me, you'll be fine.
Okay.
So anyway, I want to ask you a question, Rick.
Yes.
I was listening earlier before we came in here, you had on the other guests.
Yes.
I heard you say some things. You said, goddamn, son of a bitch.
Yes.
And heat prostration.
Yes, I did.
Can you say all those things?
Apparently so.
Yeah, well, you said there was no beeps, no delays. Okay, fine. I love your show.
Thank you. I'm glad. We try. See, this is...
You're talking to the puppet now.
I know I'm talking to the puppet. Just get off my back. You were talking to the puppet, too.
I was not talking. I'm watching the puppet.
You're watching the puppet.
What's the proper name for him?
What?
Walter.
Walter.
He's Walter.
He's Walter.
He's a ventriloquist dummy. It's a puppet.
He's a lovable curmudgeon that freaks me out a little bit.
That's it. That's okay. Carol and I are going out later.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah,
Carol.
I'm like one of my old bosses.
Ooh, are you married, Carol?
Well, I could fool around.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's fine. Yeah, it's like we're at a convention. It's fine. How long you been married? Oh, calm down.
11.
Oh, 11. Yeah, are you married, Rick?
Yes, I am.
Oh, how long?
Two.
Two? Oh, he'll see, won't he, Carol?
Yeah.
Remember when you say, till death do us part, Rick? Later, you realize you're actually setting a goal.
Now, you didn't see this at home just now. But, clearly. But the best part about this whole thing... which is saying something, is that the best part about this is that as Walter was, because, you know, performing is not just words, it's inflection, it's facial expression, and the best part is you punctuated it there. When he said, setting a goal, the eyebrows arch up, sort of like a, you know, sort of like a spooky kind of a... like a Halloween host on TV kind of a thing.
Nick, you're cracking me up like no other interviewer. This is hilarious.
Well,
like,
he says that's all.
Yeah, it's true. No, Portland, you're the best.
We don't care. Sarah's taking another picture. How long are you?
No, I'm taking some video.
Oh, some video. Do you put it on the website?
Sure.
Oh, sure, you're lying.
Well, we'll sell you some tickets.
How long have you two worked together anyway, Rick?
5 years?
5 years. Yeah. And the ratings are good?
We keep getting fired.
Yeah, we keep getting fired, but they keep bringing us back.
Yeah,
so it's sort of a wash.
Who's the other guy that didn't get to come in here because you're missing the microphone?
Oh, that's Tim Riley.
What the hell does Tim do around here?
Tim is our news director.
Who's the creepy guy at the window?
That's Tim Riley.
Oh, all right. He's scaring the hell out of me. I'll say it. Son of a bitch, go away. Does he do traffic?
No.
Who does traffic around here?
We sort of just make it up.
Oh, you'll make it up. Isn't traffic bad in Portland, at least during the rush hours?
Yes, apparently. It yes, it is today, especially.
I've always wondered, can I do traffic?
I think you should.
Can I do that?
Have at it. Do we have a traffic... Wait, hold on. Let me find a traffic bed.
Don't play the rapping traffic.
No, I'm not going to find that. I'm not. I will. Let me play the... I'll play a little... This is a classic CBS sound.
Okay.
All right.
I can save everybody a lot of time. Here we go. It's like, hey, Walt, there's a lot of traffic out there. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. What the hell's going on? Then I go, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Everyone left their house at the same damn time. Back to you.
Okay.
Call me back at 5:30. I'll tell you the same thing. Well, guess what? They're going the other way. Sorry, that's my idea of traffic.
That's true.
Sarah, do you feel dumb that you're talking to me?
I don't know what to do.
I'm so uneasy. Now, Jeff, we have to ask.
I'm really glad it isn't the pepper, though.
We have been obsessed with the self-effacing jalapeno on a steak.
Now, see, when I heard
it says steak.
It is steak. That's his deal. He says, go ahead, Walter, you say it.
Oh, he goes, jalapeno on a steak. Like he's actually a Mexican. Do you have immigration problems around here?
We do.
Oh, I'll bet you do, yeah. You know, they're talking about building a wall between here and Mexico. You heard that, right?
Yes.
No, it's not going to happen. You know why?
Why?
Who the hell's going to build the wall? Thank you.
I know that Jose, he's already at the theater, you said.
He's already at the theater.
Now, could you give us an approximation of what one might expect? Were Jose to be here?
It's a little awkward for him to do it without Jose, because, you know, he's actually thinks that
he's
it's...
in character.
I know, I'm just saying, we could look away. We could avert our eyes.
We should look away. Okay. Jose?
Okay.
Buenos dias. Is Jose jalapeno. Say the honest stick. Honest stick. Now, see, I don't know where the self-effacing thing comes. That's just a big word. It's like heat prostration. Actually, look, heat prostration. You have a big vocabulary, don't you, Rick?
I guess.
Oh,
yes,
that
sir.
Was like a joke. You should sit on Jeff's other knee. That's very funny.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else, Gordon? You were talking about the movies, about the lady in the water. Are you going to go see that?
I'm so very confused.
I believe we are.
Yes.
You know, we have our DVD out right now.
You know, you said legions of fans, and actually the DVD, we had the Comedy Central special come out in April.
That's
it doubled the ratings.
I'm confused about this because someone said, the press release, you got to find a different guy to write your PR, my friend. Because we got a press release that was very confusing.
Why?
And it said something like, DVD will be released on da-da-da-da, already triple platinum. And it was like, the tenses were all...
Can I see that?
Up. It was. I don't have it with me. It was the last.
I'd like to get it and fire that person.
Somebody dropped the ball.
No, yeah. It was the last thing they sent, and it was something about how your DVD was going to be released, but it was already the best-selling DVD Comedy Central ever had.
It's already gone platinum. So, and for a DVD, that's pretty cool. So,
So how long have you been doing this?
Since I was like 8.
Now, I don't mean to imply that you're a crazy person, but how does it start? Where you're? Is it like when your mom calls you to dinner and you're trying to convince her you're already down there? How do you begin? Quote, throwing your voice.
I had no brothers, no sisters.
He was a lonely child. So he got his own little doll, started frickin' talking to it. Carol understands. She sits out there all alone. No one comes by for hours. And he's seen her talking to her pickle on a pole. It was a pickle on a pencil. It's just like a jalapeno on a stick. She made it talk. It's fascinating.
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, so
bizarre.
So yeah, that's so I started doing that, and I have fun with it. I've never done anything else. I had a job in radio for about 10 minutes when in college.
I'm sorry,
but all I did was grow great respect for you guys, and then I went chicken with the puppet.
Yeah, that respect is ill placed, by the way.
Well, how sad is it? I went from radio back to the ventriloquism.
If somebody once said, "We're just a step above rodeo clowns here, my friend."
Oh, that's good. You just need a barrel and you're fine. I don't know. We always talk about movies. I don't know how I was rudely interrupted. How would you do that little switch? I don't know. Oh, we talk about our DVD, and then you went into that.
Yes. I'm sorry.
There's a lot of bad DVD. You know why our DVD is selling so well, Rick?
I have no idea.
Because of the crap that's out there up against it.
Yes.
You know what's out there? Poseidon. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
That movie sucked. It's a little disappointing and a little ironic when a disaster movie sucks. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You want to go out saying, that was a great disaster. You know what I mean? I love that. I hope the next one is even more disastrous. How about Basic Instinct 2? Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's terrible. So sad. And that one, when Sharon Stone crossed her legs, the wheelchair broke. Did you know that? Hey, that was a good joke. You liked that one.
You know, but here's the thing is that Walter the Puppet looks angry. I expect him to come off your knee and, like, go for my throat.
Oh, well, it's too much brand.
Brands. Should make you regular.
Regular, hell. I'm 3 years ahead of schedule.
Okay.
Yeah, shut up. Can I do a Brokeback Mountain jokes?
I see no way of stopping it.
That DVD is killing right now. It's doing great. Did you know that?
Yes.
I've said this for years. There's nothing this country needs more than a gay cowboy flick. Because I was a kid, I used to watch The Lone Ranger and Tonto, and I'd think, you know, something's missing. They need to hug. You're trying not to laugh, Rick.
Get scared.
I really am.
It's okay.
Okay, here's a dumb
question. No, I want to ask, do you have any ventriloquist groupies?
Yeah, you know what?
I was just going to ask that same question. I was totally going to ask that.
You know what? I've never done... the last time I was in Portland, this is how bad this is. 1985, I was in a Broadway show called Sugar Babies with Mickey Rooney and Ann Miller. Were you around, Carol?
Yeah.
Is that right?
idiot. Don't ask her that. She was in elementary school, you moron.
I'm sorry,
Carol. I work with an idiot. I tried going solo, but I kept falling off this frickin' stool.
Are you ever afraid that you're going to actually go crazy someday like Jonathan Winters?
Well,
and you're going to be in a car wreck, and like they're going to talk to you, and you'll say nothing, and then finally they go, Walter, and you go, yes.
Yeah, I've worried about that some, because when I rehearse, I'm all alone, and maids will go by the hotel room, and they'll hear two or three people in there, and then they come in, and it's just me.
Now, ventriloquism, I mean, no disrespect, ventriloquism, I don't want to say it's a dying art, but it is one of those things you associate with the Borscht Belt and vaudeville.
No, it is very sad. It's a sad little art, and there aren't many people that are good at it. And,
I wasn't trying to make you feel bad.
No, it's true, though. And but what I love about my people coming to my show is they're usually dragged kicking and screaming, and they don't want to come, and then they come to the show and they have a great time and they walk away and they think, boy, those guys were funny. They don't think, gee, what a decent variety act. So that's the whole point, is the comedy.
That's what everyone has said.
We just hadn't heard. We didn't know what to think, and then the people called me. Then they said that it's of course we're on the radio, but people, it's a very an adult. There's a lot of adult themed humor.
Yeah, it's a PG-13 to R.
I was going to ask about that. Should people, because we got a lot of people with kids, should people bring their kids home?
No, it's an adult show. It's not dirty. It's just a few words here and there.
The little pitchers have big ears.
What? Little what?
Something my grandmother used to say.
Little who?
Pitchers, big
little
ears.
Pictures?
Pictures.
Pictures? As in photographs?
No, it's pictures. It's like the thing, the pouring.
Oh, little
it's
pictures.
Thing. It's an old
have
person thing.
Big ears. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I'm
an old guy, too, but your grandmother was nuts.
You know, this is like when you're at a bar and you don't want to watch the TV, but you find yourself just staring at it anyway. That's totally what this is.
Yeah, all you have to do is go to commercial and they'll usher us out.
I'm way ahead of you, my friend.
It's happened before. Have you been to the Aladdin?
No. Not for a long time. It's been a long time, actually.
You went to Puppetry of the Penis there, right?
You went to Puppetry of the Penis.
Oh, did you go to Puppetry of the Penis?
Yes.
See, Jeff should do that. Then it would talk.
So anyway, if you'd like to witness this firsthand, and plus, now you've got, how many characters are there? There's Walter, there's Jose.
How do you go from Puppetry of the Penis to firsthand?
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, there's Jose, there's Walter, there's Peanut, the little purple guy.
He's like a Muppet on crack.
Okay.
I don't know how the jalapeno got on a stick, Rick. I think it was a horrible pogo accident.
Yes.
Like, doink, doink, olé! I don't know.
Okay.
So, Rick, you need to come to the show.
Yes, it's seven, yes. And there's two of them, actually.
There's two of them tonight, yeah.
Seven and ten.
This is a brand new market for it. We're in Seattle tomorrow night. We're almost sold out for a big old giant show there.
Fantastic. Well, and, tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com or call the Aladdin at 503-224-4400. 503-224-4400 or Ticketmaster.com. Jeff Dunham. And your new, what's the CD called? Talking to Myself?
Arguing with myself. DVD.
The DVD. Not a CD. That'd be ridiculous. Then they're like doing radio. Oh, sorry.
Thank you. The DVD, Arguing with Myself, Jeff Dunham, 7 and 10 o'clock tonight, the Aladdin Theater. All right. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having us. Thank you, Walter.
We enjoyed it.
All right. We'll do this. We'll come back. Dennis Pittenberger is going to be here. Next hour, what else do we have coming up? Well, we have the call from CJ the Vegan. We've got the Week in Geek and a Half. And we'll talk about it. We got this thing from Arnold we're going to read. Stay there. Jeff Dunham, ladies and gentlemen. Ticketmaster.com. Back after this. This is a Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.